From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fifth day of February, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Bossi of Ag Resource Company. Kurt Kimmel is in Nashville. Dan is actually there as well at the agmarket.net Farming for Profit, Not Price Conference. I spoke with Dan on Friday in Kurt's stead, and we talked about what he was presenting this past weekend at that conference. You want to stay with us for that. We'll also hear today about a conference related to climate smart tools in the state of Illinois with University of Illinois Extension climate specialist Dwayne Friend. Those are coming up at the end of the month, and we'll talk about the weather forecast too with Mark Russo of Everstream Analytics. And I'll remind you to get your tickets for the All Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. That's coming up on the 5th day of March. A couple important things for that. Cinnamon rolls and the Beef House lunch. The cost is $40. We'll talk about SAF, Sustainable Aviation Fuel, that day. The Farm Doc team will be there to help with crop insurance decisions and the ARC PLC decisions. Those will be a little different this year, and you may need to think about those, so it'd be great for you to get registered right now. Don't wait. Do it all at willag.org. willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Over the weekend, the agmarket.net folks were in Nashville, and actually they're there today, Monday as well. Yesterday, Dan Bossi of Ag Resource Company made a presentation to them. I talked to him on Friday morning just to see what he was going to tell them. Let's hear a little bit about that. Dan, thank you for being with us. What is it that you plan to present on Sunday to the folks?
So, yeah, we're going to kind of ask the question, Todd, is the sky falling on U.S. agriculture? And, you know, we're turning ourselves to a new growing season. We're in the period where we're establishing revenue insurance, probably at the lowest prices in 3 years. Costs on the farm are still up. And so, you know, I'm posing the question, is the sky falling, and maybe what the farmer can be looking forward to. We do have a crowded market right now. The market's been going down rather repeatedly, and it's become a crowded trade, if you will. And I think that if I listen to my weather people and my climate scientists, there's going to be some short covering forthcoming as we get into Northern Hemisphere, and maybe that'll provide the farmer some opportunity. But I maybe, you know, prices are down, but I'm not as pessimistic as many in the trade. I do think there'll be some bounces that provide opportunity.
When you talk about the sky is falling, and I was thinking about this just yesterday as it's related to principal acres in the United States, they move about 10 million in total from 1 year to the next, or can as much. And that brought me to the idea, well, what are the principal acres in Brazil and Argentina? And Brazil's been expanding. And at that point, I was thinking, wait a second, is this just the fact that we've gotten to an equilibrium point for the marketplace because so many acres have come in, or hectares in this case, from South America?
Well, I think you're right. I think, you know, when you look at where the bearishness came from, it really was South America in the last year and their big soybean crop, which still has a long tail, which is affecting the board trade. And you know, as my office in Brasilia tells me, our clients down there are now to margins that are starting to turn negative. And so when you think about Mato Grosso farmers today, I just called down there this morning. The average soybean price is $8.77 a bushel. The average corn price is $2.71. Those are not prices that are providing margin to the South American producer. And I think that's something that'll be important longer term time.
Yeah, so particularly I would think that would be the case if you're in southern Brazil, where the price of farmland has gone up 200% in the last 2 years or 4 years, just an incredible amount. And the rest of the Brazilian farmland has gone up in price as well. Now, that's good if you have an asset, but if you need to buy and expand, that may be a different thing. For the U.S. farmer, you said you're not as bleak as others. What does that mean?
I think it means that as we look at the market today, we see something, and we call it a plateau theory in our shop, which is if I go back to oh, maybe the last 100 years of cash corn prices in the U.S. We tend to form plateaus, and we think the plateau in corn is somewhere between 4 and 420, maybe 390 to 420 in terms of downside, even if we had a relatively good growing season. And so with that in mind, you know, when you look at March corn futures at 440 a bushel this week, you know, there's some downside risk, but the bulk of the move is already digested. So with the funds now short as much as they are in corn, 275,000 contracts, there's only been 13 other weeks that the funds have been shorter. One wants to be a little careful here and maybe pull in his claws just a little bit from where it's been.
Can you talk about the impact of those funds on the marketplace and what that means to cash price, if anything? And I guess I'm thinking this is just straight up sort of economics. The market is seeking a price at which consumption will happen. And I believe that the funds can move that, but only temporarily.
Yeah, if we go back in the last 6 months, both in soybeans and corn, and kind of correlate the activities of funds, in this case, selling, they do model pretty well with the price fall that has occurred since December. So what we're seeing is that we're getting fewer smaller traders in the market, and these larger traders in their algos and AI systems, you know, seem to be overwhelming the market or overwhelming price just a little bit. And we'll talk about that in the presentation coming. But, you know, when we stand back, you know, these people are someday going to be a buyer because, you know, every time they put a short position on, they're going to have to do a purchase. And the farmer at the moment is the long in the market, and the farmer's got to decide what price he's probably looking at. But as basis levels are starting to increase, Central Illinois now looking at 25 cents over on beans, maybe 7 to 9 cents over on corn. As the market and basis starts to bid for supply, because farmers are squirreling stuff away still, indeed, the market may see some kind of trigger point that gets some of these fund traders to cover their shorts. And so that's why I said, I think it's time to be less bearish. That doesn't say that the bear market's over with, but as we look at a new growing season across the Northern Hemisphere, I think a lot of these managed money traders are going to be looking at probably taking some profits. Yeah, that should give us some kind of rebound. I really don't see prices above $4.90 or $5, though, on a spot corn basis, unless we had a weather problem of size and substance, either in South America or the upcoming growing season across the Northern Hemisphere.
What farmers will really want to know is, by March 1, can they make a sale that they will be satisfied to meet their cash flow needs?
You know, Todd, I think at that point, it's a little tight to do that. I would tell the farming community that if they needed cash flow, maybe a basis contract, so you find the best basis bids when the market's the cheapest. I'm not seeing enough news, unless the Argentinian weather forecast kind of busts and stays drier for another couple of weeks, that you could have that kind of rally. So I would maybe look at a basis sale and trying to pick up something like 70% of your revenue on the contract, and then still having that position under either a May or July futures position looking forward.
What is your view for the new crop price potential for both corn and soybeans?
Well, if we have good weather going forward, oversized risk that December corn could slide to that 4-420 level that we discussed earlier. If Mother Nature is kind and we end up with a U.S. corn yield that's record large. If there's a problem, though, the upside could be something like 520 to 540 on some kind of weather scare, assuming that we didn't have a sizable drought. One of the things we're looking at very strongly at Ag Resource is there's a strong correlation between winter temperatures and summer temperatures. And then, of course, we can look back at when U.S. Temperatures averaged 2 degrees warmer than normal. That's been adverse on U.S. corn and soybean yields. So other than that 10-day spate of, if we remember, Arctic cold, and it was the coldest on record, the winter has been very, very mild. And I think this trend was something that will continue. And it's worrisome in our work as we think forward to the growing season and what it means for yield potential.
One last area to explore, that would be the consumption side. Exports, livestock, and domestic consumption for ethanol. Which one concerns you?
At the moment, it's probably the biggest one. Ethanol is on track, other than that winter cold that caused some slowdowns, plant closures, if you will, and mechanical difficulties. But ethanol is on track to be raised another 25 million bushels from USDA. The livestock outlook looks relatively strong. In fact, we've termed 2024 the year of protein, and cattle and pork prices are likely to rise. So I don't see issues there with their margins. to me, it's still the export side of things. And this is where the dilemma comes into market. The private estimates in Brazil are very wide yet. I mean, I see numbers as low as 135 million metric tons in Brazilian soybean crop. USDA is up at 157. You know, that's 22 million metric tons or over 700 million bushels of soybeans. We need to narrow that before we can really look at the exportability from South America. But if the crop is, my team has come down with an estimate from a crop to of 145, if we are in that 140, 145 range, then the U.S. has an export opportunity, but it's that Safrina corn crop that's forthcoming that'll key U.S. corn exports. So that's a March, April decision point in terms of how that crop comes along. But a lot of our farmers, because of low prices, are not applying the same kind of ingredients or let's call it inputs that they normally would. And so there's going to be a little bit of yield drag in South America on corn. And I think that could be helpful to the U.S. export profile later this summer.
Thank you much, Dan.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Dan Bossi. He's with Ag Resource Company. He spoke over the weekend at the Farming for Profit, Not Price Conference put on by agmarket.net and was kind enough to join me last Friday morning to discuss his weekend presentation to those gathered in Nashville. Now, speaking of conferences, in just a moment, we'll talk about a Climate Smart Tools conference, but I do want to remind you to pick up your tickets for the All Day Ag Outlook. Details are online at willag.org, willag.org. The cost, again, just $40. That includes your beef house lunch, the cinnamon roll, and coffee in the morning. Much of the Farm Doc team will talk about SAF and herbicides and so much more, the value of farmland too, on Tuesday, the 5th day of March. But you need to register today at willag.org. We're joined today by Dwayne Friend. He's a master naturalist coordinator for Extension and a climate specialist. And today we're going to talk about something directly related to the farm. There are some upcoming workshops called the Agriculture Climate Tools Workshop. They'll be in Marion County, Sangamon County, and near Rockford at the NIU Conference Center at the end of this month. Dwayne, thank you for being with us. What caused you to put together, I'll call it Climate Smart Tools at the moment. I think many people in agriculture kind of understand what that means. But why did you put it together?
Well, this is something that when I was starting to do some presentations last year to different groups and talking a little bit about some of the tools that were out there through the Midwest Climate Hub, the Midwest Regional Climate Center, National Weather Service, and some other entities, I was surprised to find out that a lot of folks really weren't aware of them. So actually, we put together a small sustainable ag research and education professional development grant to allow us to be able to do that. So I am working with Trent Ford, state climatologist, and the Midwest Climate Hub, the Midwest Regional Climate Center, another entity that's with the Weather Service, but it's called the National Integrated Drought Information System. And then also Denny Atkins, who is also in the with the Prairie Research Institute, Illinois State Water Survey, who manages the weather and atmospheric monitoring program, which deals with soil temperatures and moisture throughout the state. So I'm working with all those folks to get these set up.
What will those who decide that they might want to attend listen to and watch for the day?
Well, the first thing they'll hear is me. I'm going to go through just a short talk on what's been happening in the last few decades in terms of how weather has changed. And then we'll get into the real meat of the program, where we're going to have these different folks talk about some of the tools that are out there, what's available. And one of the things I really want to emphasize is when a lot of people hear the word climate, they're thinking, oh, this is dealing with stuff years out. But what we're dealing with are tools that would work within a growing season. So, you know, even for this growing season, these are tools that could be used now or, again, throughout the growing season. So these are tools that are working within a current growing year. And dealing with such things like frost freeze guidance, looking at potential for flash droughts, giving some heads up on those kind of things, looking at soil temperature, soil moisture. So this and other things that could be involved would be like chilling hours. So some of the specialty growers might be interested in those kind of things. There's just a number of different tools out there that they're going to go through and show what those tools are. And then there's going to be one or two of those tools that we're actually going to have folks go through a kind of a scenario on. So hopefully people can bring their laptops, their iPads. It probably could be done on phones, but it'd be better on a larger thing. And we'll actually have people go through and do a little exercise on at least one of the tools so they can become really familiar with it. And the other aspect is we have three certified crop advisor CEUs available for this in crop sciences. So that's all available as well.
And how do folks get registered?
They can go to, the website is go.illinois.edu/climate tools. And so it's, it has an S on the end of it. I will say that registration is going well, so if people are interested, they shouldn't wait to sign up because we have a maximum of 30 at each location, and some locations are getting kind of close to that, so I would recommend that people go ahead and sign up. It is a free workshop. We'll have lunch. We'll have snacks available for folks as well. It goes from 8:30 to 2:30, and just invite anyone that's interested in finding a little bit more about these decision tools to come in and join us.
And you can do that at three different spaces across the state of Illinois on February the 26th. You'll catch up with the Agriculture Climate Tools Workshop in the Marion County Extension Office. That's in Salem, Illinois. On the 28th, they'll be at the Sangamon County Extension Office in Springfield, and then finally at the NIU Conference Center, not in DeKalb, but this one is in Rockford in northern Illinois on the 29th, leap year this year, so there is a 29th day of February. Dwayne Friend, thank you so much. I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Dwayne Friend. He is a climate specialist and a master naturalist coordinator for Illinois Extension. If you'd like to learn more about these Agriculture Climate Tools workshops or find the dates and be able to locate them, you can do that easily enough at go.illinois.edu/climate tools or visit willag.org. Scroll down the page and you'll see them highlighted in red in the calendar at the end of the month. Mark Russo now joins us from Everstream Analytics. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us. Let's take a look at the global growing regions and what the weather has managed to do and how the climate is impacting the crops. Begin in Argentina, which had a good start to their season compared to the last three, certainly, and much better than last year, though they've had some dryness and heat as of recent. How are things stacking up today?
Well, Todd, answer your first question. We feel any issues are pretty limited here with the heat and dryness. Reason being is that going into this heat wave that started last week and the dry spell that started a couple of weeks ago, soil moisture had been adequate to even abundant. So good insurance there to help limit any kind of, you know, major reductions in yield potential. And on top of this, this heat and dryness is going to be coming to an end this week. In fact, starting the second half of this week, the pattern becomes more favorable for more frequent and significant rain development and also an easing of the heat, which will provide stabilization there.
In southern Brazil, and the center west for that matter, very different seasons between those two regions thus far. How are things going for the harvest of soybeans and the planting of second crop or safrinha corn?
Yeah, overall pretty good. In fact, there's been actually rapid planting of winter corn. and ongoing harvesting of soybeans. And the pattern here coming up over the next few weeks, it's favorable for both. There's enough dry days that allows for more soybean harvesting as well as winter crop planting, but then also enough days with rains returning or more meaningful rainfall to help maintain the generally adequate topsoil moisture reserve. So all in all, it's a generally favorable pattern across the vast majority of Brazil corn and soybean acreage.
Last fall, weather conditions were not conducive to putting the soybean crop into the center-west portion of Brazil. It was very dry. That pushed back the planting dates some. And there was concern to begin with, of course, about the soybean crop there, and then also about the potential for the safrinha or second crop corn planting to be delayed enough that it would cause an issue for that crop as it moved through the growing season and had to finish off more of its season under very dry conditions. What do you see?
Yeah, certainly something to watch here in terms of lower subsoil moisture levels. The fact that rainfall over the past month to 6 weeks has been normal to above normal, that has helped to recharge topsoil moisture. But the key coming up, at least in the forecast, is what happens in March and April, the end of the rainy season, as that is critical for soil moisture for the remainder of development of winter corn. So that's something that we're researching right now. Don't have a specific outlook, but that is going to be the key here. Is there any kind of early end of the rainy season that would begin, that would be problematic, or is, more rain on the way, or even a wetter than normal end to the season, which would be the most beneficial for winter corn in center west Brazil.
Here in the United States, we've had quite a bit of rainfall over the wintertime. A lot of worry as we were coming out of the fall about the dryness, particularly in the western part of the United States, the western part of the Corn Belt, and all the way into parts of Iowa, maybe even Missouri and parts of western Illinois. Have those been alleviated?
Yeah, we've seen significant improvement over the past several weeks. It's been a wetter than normal pattern, not only across much of the Midwest, but across the plains, across the Delta. In fact, much of the country has been wetter than normal, and we still see that ongoing right now, especially in areas like California, parts of the southern U.S. The Midwest, though, is starting to trend a bit drier for the next couple of weeks, or at least less active compared to what it has been. So a little bit of a pause there in the improvement, but certainly there's been significant improvement in most areas, with the exception of the far northwestern belt, in and around the Red River Valley, the Dakotas, and Minnesota.
Hey, thank you much.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand. Just click and play from the website at willag.org or look us up in your favorite podcast applications. And there today at willag.org, you can get yourself registered for the Tuesday, March 5, All-Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. It's a great event. It really is. I hope you will join us. The cost is just $40, and that includes the Beef House lunch. You have a great day.